Okay, so Elvis and I head down to the bar where this Rosendo Douglas guy is supposed to be waiting.
Yeah, you guys go down to a little place called the Cat Burglar. It's got a picture of a cartoon cat carrying a bag of money on the front. It's the middle of the day, but you go in and there's the barkeep, and there's a guy who might very well be Rosendo Douglas sitting at the far end of the bar. Looks like he's doing some paperwork and he's drinking. The guy looks greasy. He's got a long, thin mustache, kind of like half of a Fu Manchu, and a lot of stubble. He's wearing a bandolier with 6 flintlock pistols in it. He looks up at you a little unsteadily, and then goes back to his paperwork.
Hey buddy, are you Rosendo?
He looks up again and he goes, that depends. Are you with the bank?
No, I'm not with the... Yes, I'm with the bank. They sent a giant naked lizard to collect on your debts.
Well, I haven't been listening to the guys in the suits, so that would be a wise change of pace.
Good. You shouldn't listen to the guys in the suits. You know, clothing separates men from each other, makes one man think he's better than another man. Nudity equalizes all of us.
He gives you a slow blink, and he goes, I'm trying to do some paperwork here, do you mind?
Excuse me, barkeep? Do you have peanuts?
The barkeep says, yeah, for paying customers. I can give you a little tin of peanuts.
How much for just the peanuts but no drink?
Just the peanuts? Make it 3 copper, I guess.
Can I take out a tab?
No. Look, I'd throw you out, but there's nobody else in here right now, so do whatever you came to do, and then throw yourself out.
Elvis, focus. We're here for this Rosendo guy.
Rosendo says, what do you want?
I want to go in the dungeon, futz around a little bit, and then satisfy the morbid curiosity that makes my friend think that this is a worthwhile endeavor.
I'm gonna be an adventurer!
So you guys are newbies, and you're trying to make a little money on the side.
No, you can keep the money. I do not need physical goods. This is about making a point.
Okay, well, there's all kinds of rules and paperwork about what you can take in and out of the dungeon, so you can't just take nothing that's paperwork. I mean, I have to do that paperwork. There's files for, like, if you die and we split the earnings up differently, but there's no files for just refuse to take earnings that... doesn't happen.
This is why paperwork is the dumbest thing in the world. You don't have papers for every possible scenario that could ever happen. I prove it.
Yeah, I guess.
So can you let us go down in the dungeon now, or are you gonna mess us around?
There's a system, guys. I can't just let you down. But, look, I tell you what. If you make your own team, then you get bumped up in the line a little bit, because it's easier on me. I mean, I'm not supposed to, but I'll bump you up if I have to do less work. He goes into his bag and he fishes out some papers and he goes, okay, all right, here's a copy of a list of all the people who haven't been teamed up yet. Make your own team. You got 2 already. You can just be 3. That'll be enough. And I'll find you a slot at the nearest convenience.
So wait, are you just handing me a paper with all the names and addresses of everyone in the guild who doesn't have a team?
Well, it's not everyone in the guild. It's everyone in my jurisdiction.
Oh, okay, just people in poverty then.
Basically.
Wow, Lowry, you were right. All the paperwork is bad and frustrating, so they're just not doing it.
I know I'm right. This is the problem with creating paperwork. No one wants to do it because it is aberrant.
About when can we expect to go in the dungeon?
He goes into his bag again. He gets out another piece of paper. He kind of goes over it. He says, I got one 3 weeks out.
3 weeks? Oh, can't you be more frustrated with paperwork than that?
Kid, I'm about as frustrated with paperwork as I can possibly get. But if I snub these guys on their things, they're going to be angry. And I'm going to have to deal with real-life people being angry in my face.
Try and sneak around and look over his shoulder. Can I see a location and a time for the next delve that they're going to do?
There's not an exact address, but the next one is Door 7, and that comes up tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so we just have to get together a team of 3 guys, and that's a delving squad.
That's the bare minimum of what we would consider a squad. With me adding on, that's 4.
Okay, you come with us, but we get the essential delving experience with 3 people, and then we would go to one of these vaults, you say, in 3 weeks.
Look, fellas, if you're in need of money right now, I gotta warn you, this doesn't pay very much. We're gonna go down there, we're gonna beat up some skeletons, we're gonna take some old, rusted, partially broken swords and some leather armor and stuff, we're gonna sell them to scrap dealers. It's worth basically nothing. From that, you'll get maybe a hot meal and a couple of drinks. I mean, it's only like an hour of work, but it pays like it's only just an hour of work. Frankly, you'd be better off being a prostitute. I'm pretty sure that they charge more per minute than we pay.
The body is a temple, and I will not put trash inside of it.
But Larry, earlier...
Unless it's like food waste from a trash can.
Okay, so do you guys have any questions or concerns about the guilds? I'm a guild ambassador, so I'm obligated by civil contract to sit here and help you.
No, I think we've got it. Just create a team and then go in the dungeon. I see.
All right, then I guess I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yes, unless I can disavow my friend of his delusions before that.
Oh, I have a question.
Sure.
Can I have your peanuts?
Rosendo picks up the tin of peanuts and just dumps them into your bag.
Oh my god, thank you. It is like I found a new family.
Glad to help.
All right, Elvis, come on, let's go.
Well, where do we go now?
Well, we're going to find another teammate. For example, I see here a guy named Matios. That's a pretty cool name, and he's a dragon man. So I can show you the difference between a lizard man and a dragon man.
Oh, okay. I am learning so much today.
Okay, Mason, I go to this guy's address.
He lives in town, in the slums. Like, pretty much the worst part of this area. You go to an apartment complex, you knock on the door. The guy who opens it is a red dragon man with long brown horns, and he's wearing sweatpants and a wife beater. He goes, yeah?
Are you Matios?
No. I mean, why?
We're with the Adventurers Guild. We want to team up.
Oh, okay, the Adventuring Guild. Yeah, I guess I'm down. When do you want to go?
How about tonight? You free?
Have they got a slot open?
Do you know where door 7 is?
Yeah, I think I've been to door 7.
Well, that's going to be open until tomorrow.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah, let me get my shield. I got a little buckler.
I'm so excited. This is my first delving team. Oh, do you have a sword?
No, I mostly just breathe fire.
See, this man understands that you're just burdened by material possessions. Except for the shield. You really don't need that, by the way.
Yeah, I do. The skeletons have bow and arrow. They'll shoot you if you're not careful.
Is the buckler really providing that much protection?
The guy kind of looks at it. He shrugs and he goes, I guess not. He takes it off and he throws it on his couch.
So my friend Lowry here, he says that I was going to learn the difference between a dragon and a lizard by meeting you. So what exactly is different between a dragon and a lizard?
What do you mean, a dragon man and a lizard man?
Yeah, I see you're both covered in scales and Lowry is naked.
Well, I don't know why he's naked. I assume that's just a cultural thing with the lizard man. But I am not a lizard man. I am a dragon man.
Uh-huh.
The difference is, I mean, look how big he is. You see me? I'm like 6 feet tall. That's kind of average for a dragon
man. 6 feet tall.
And he's like 9 feet.
So the lizard is actually bigger than the dragon.
Do you mean dragon men or lizard men? Because lizard men are taller than dragon men. I think. I actually haven't met a lizard man before. This is my first time meeting a lizard
man. This is my first time meeting a dragon man, but we're all taller than you.
And you see how his face is kind of broad and flat? Well, my face is a little more narrow, you know, kind of more bird-like.
You've also got more ridges, you know, up on the...
Yeah, the ridges are better defined.
I see. Did you know that some man-mans have darker skin than others, but we're all still considered man-mans?
Yeah, well, color, there's different color dragon men, right? And I assume lizard men.
No, we're all kind of the same color.
Oh, well, there's different color dragon men, and it means different things.
Oh, like your mood? Are you angry?
No. But I will be, if you keep asking dumb questions like that.
Well, then what does the color say about you?
Well, it says I'm from a superior bloodline. A lot of other dragon colors are dumb and should be slaves.
Ah.
Yeah, my bloodline descends directly from Bamahan, the god of dragons.
And the other colors don't?
Well, it's complicated, but I mean, technically we're the chosen ones. And the other colors are like the ones that Bamahan didn't really want.
Okay,
I'll bet that's not true.
Yes, it is. Just ask any dragon man.
Well, if your god Bamahan chose you, then why are you wearing sweatpants with mustard stains on them?
That's got nothing to do with the Bamahan bloodline.
Let's think about it. If your scale color really mattered, then Bamahan would be here encouraging you to go naked to display them proudly.
That's indecent exposure. I don't know how it works for you lizard men, but dragon men can't just go around naked.
Why not?
Because, well, we have dangly bits and mammaries, unlike lizard men, apparently.
That feels like another crucial difference between the two species.
I didn't really think about that until just now.
Well, you're on a journey now, a thought journey, and I will be your guide.
Look, I don't know if I want any of that. Are we going to go down and kill some skeletons or what? Because I do need money.
Money is the only thing that you don't need. But yes, we are going to go down and kill some skeletons to prove that it's a tedious, pointless, thankless task.
Yeah, sure. But it's also a fistful of silver for that hour of tedious work, so I'll take it.
I was told you can't even afford a prostitute on the money they give
you. Gods, tell me about it. But are we going or not?
Lead the way, friend. You know where the door is.
Matios does know where the door is. He leads you guys to a gated area, and then he pauses out front. And he goes, So I take it this is an off-the-books thing.
What does off-the-books mean?
It means it's going to be an oral story only. We're not writing it down.
Can it still be committed to song?
So do you guys have a buyer lined up for the scraps? Because I know a guy.
Oh, no. We're not doing this for the money.
We're doing it for the glory.
Lowry, Matteos takes you aside. Hey, are you going to kill that guy and just dump him in there? Because if so, I am not cool with that. I can just leave now. I don't even know you guys.
No. It's like a scared straight thing. I'm trying to get him to give up on his dreams. He might want 3 copper for peanuts.
Okay. You swear you're not going to kill him?
No, he won't learn a lesson that way.
Okay, well, we just got to get over that gate, and then there's a big door. So do you need a leg up?
Oh, no, I know how to pick locks. I kneel down in front of the lock, and I stick my fingernail in there and jiggle around until I open it.
All right, give me a lock pick roll.
There we go.
The lock pops open. It's not a sophisticated lock. It's kind of there for your safety.
Wow, Larry, where'd you learn how to do that?
Well, Elvis, you have to understand, I don't really like locks. Property is sort of an illusion, and this is proof.
Oh, because you can just get anywhere you want.
Yes, I have to respect the property for it to be your property. That's an important lesson.
That is just like when I lived at home. I used to think closing the door meant Mom and Dad don't come in, but Mom always came in anyway. That was embarrassing a lot of times.
I'll bet.
You go through the gate, and inside, all there is what looks like a cellar entrance. There's another door there, and it's also locked, but you know, I'm just going to give it to you, because you'll figure it out eventually. It's kind of like an airlock system. You get in through the first door, and then there's a locked door ahead of you. Matteo says, we ought to lock the door behind us.
But Larry just explained that locked doors have no meaning.
Well, it's not for us. It's because sometimes the creatures in the dungeon make a run for it, and they try to get outside of the dungeon, and that would be bad.
Do they respect locked doors?
Matteo shrugs, because I don't know if they understand them.
So skeletons respect locked doors? But we don't.
You pass through the doors. Matteos locks them behind you. After the second set of doors, you find yourself in what can only be described as a long hallway. There's some old blue lights hanging, and it gives you enough to see by, but it's a bit spooky. Still, though, it's kind of like being inside of a sewer. There's a door to your left and a door to your right, or you could walk straight ahead. There's another set of doors down the hallway, but they're wide open. Matteos says, "Ah, that's weird. Normally, they're supposed to lock those on their way in or out. Somebody must have forgotten."
Matteos, where are the skeletons?
Oh, just go through either door. The whole place is kind of like a maze, and then occasionally you come to these pedestals, and they'll just summon the skeletons.
All right, I open a door.
You open the door, and it leads to a circular room. And in the center, as promised, is a pedestal. In the middle of the pedestal is a tiny little purple crystal. There's all kinds of carved swirls and runes and stuff in the room, and it looks like the pedestal extends down below the ground. But the crystal is by far the most eye-catching thing, because it's glowing. Matteo says, "Yeah, see, when they're glowing like that, that means that they're primed and ready to go. They recharge every 8 hours or so, so you can come in, kill a couple of skeletons, collect their stuff, sell it for scrap, and then you could come back in 8 hours. If there weren't so much dang competition."
Well, this is scheduled for tomorrow. They're going to come back in 24 hours and not even know we were here.
Yeah, but the guild wants a cut of your profits, and then you're supposed to pay taxes to the city on it. So if we get caught, it's going to be a huge fine and also a year in prison.
Oh, are we not supposed to be down here?
You are an adventurer, right?
Yes, but I want to be a good adventurer, doing the right thing.
Well, right and wrong is very subjective. For example, would it be wrong to kill a man and eat him if you were starving and you were morally a better man than him? Okay, you see, it's a loaded question. It's actually a false dilemma. You could just eat out of the trash, like I tried to teach you before.
Oh, it all fits together.
Okay, so if you guys are ready, all we have to do is walk a little further in the room and the skeletons will be summoned up.
All right, walk myself right on in.
The crystal glows even brighter, some runes appear, and then 4 skeletons are summoned in rapidly after one another. They're all wearing leather armor, 2 are carrying swords, and 2 have a bow and arrow. We're at the top of 12, so Elvis, let's start with you.
Okay, I bang my sword on my shield and then leap over to a skeleton and cut it in half.
Your parents have trained you well. You leap over, you just slash down on this skeleton, and it's nothing but bone. You chop it in half effortlessly. And all right, Lowry.
See, they're barely even challenging. Walk up to one with a bow and try to take it away. Give me that.
You grab the bow and the skeleton wrestles it away from you. No!
Give me that. I am trying to prove a point.
Matteos just stands where he is and then barfs up a ton of fire onto the other sword skeleton. The skeleton, now covered in flames, runs up to Matteos and attempts to stab him. Matteos runs to the wall trying to dodge the thing. He goes, "Just give it a couple of seconds. It'll burn itself out here." Lowry, the skeleton you were trying to wrestle the bow away from notches an arrow and then just lets it go. Thunk. Directly into you. Your scale stops some of the impact, but you do feel it.
Okay. Ow. Ow.
Elvis, the second skeleton shoots its bow and arrow at you. Twang! Poink! It just bounces off of your armor. And okay, Elvis, you're up again.
I chop the flaming skeleton. Don't worry, Matios, I've got you.
Ah, you bisect the second skeleton. Matios goes, I had it. It's just going to take a little bit. Lowry.
Okay, try to take the bow again.
You reach for it, but the skeleton is pretty adamant about keeping this bow. No, no. And then it loads up the arrow again and dunk lets it go into you. Elvis, the second archer, shoots you again and dunk right off your armor. And then Elvis, it's your turn again.
Jump over and kill the archer that just shot me.
You run over, sword in hand, childlike glee on your sleeves, and you chop that skeleton in half. Lowry.
Take the bow away.
Okay, this time you wrestle the bow away from the skeleton, kicking it away from you as you grab it. Now you have the bow, the skeleton is mostly defenseless, but it still tries ineffectually to grab the bow back from you, but you're much taller than it, so you just keep it shoved away.
Okay, so this is also an important lesson. You see, you take away your weapon, and it's all you know what to do. Now you are defenseless.
And I assume that Elvis chops the other skeleton in half.
This is great. This is what you guys do for a living?
Well, I mean, not for a living.
Okay, but you can see how this would get tedious, right? You do this enough times, it's the same skeletons over and over and over.
I mean, that's any job, really. I work down by the docks, and all I do is I stack packs of grain onto boats, just over and over. Grain, boat, grain, boat.
Both. But you don't glorify it, though. You know it sucks.
Oh, yeah, it sucks.
See, Elvis, this is the same kind of mindless menial work that everyone does everywhere. It is not adventure. It is not great.
No, I get it. It's endless. It is endless, endless fun and fighting.
No, it's... Okay, let me show you. Try and grab the crystal off of the pedestal.
It's stuck in there really fast. It's got like a metal bit holding it in there.
Okay, pick up a rock and then bash it out of there.
All right, you pick up the rock. Matios goes, hey, what are you doing? And then you bash the thing. And Matios goes, whoa, hey!
I'm getting the crystal.
You bash the crystal loose, and the pedestal is broken.
There, see? It's not endless. Everything is ephemeral. Everything comes to an end.
Dude, that's like a 20-year felony! You can't just break the pedestals?
I can. In fact, I just did.
The guild, that's income for the guild. If they figure out it was you, you were in so much trouble.
Well, they won't, because, I eat the crystal.
You just put the crystal in your mouth and it's gone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have a gizzard or whatever for storing rocks, so that's where it goes.
Wow. Okay, this is a complex lesson. But what you're saying is that the spirit of adventure exists inside of us.
No, that's not what I'm trying to... I mean, it does. Like, it exists in your heart or in your head, but what I'm saying is that this is short-lived, maybe.
Unless you take it into yourself, in which case it's forever.
Or until you pass it in your stool.
Okay. That part loses me. I'm not really sure how it fits in the metaphor.
It's the ephemerality message. It doesn't last forever.
What does ephemeral mean?
Short-lived. Like, not forever. The word I keep you... Do you understand context?
Let's kill some more skeletons!
Okay, maybe this is the wrong approach. Let's try an overdose. Matios, is there anywhere in here that would summon more than 4 skeletons? Like 20 skeletons? Where I could maybe stand in back because these arrows really hurt.
Well, I think up above, there's one with, like, 2 pedestals?
All right, let's set off a few, then.
Okay. Well, even a whole bunch of them is, like, pretty harmless. If I vomit up a wall of fire, they tend not to go through it.
Great, I don't care. Let's go.
You guys leave this room. You walk down the hallway, and you get to the door that's open. It goes down, but Matios points you to the left. It goes up. But then up at the top of the stairs, you see a couple of skeletons milling around already. They don't notice you right away. But then you hear click, 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 click. Sounds like a rain stick. And as more skeletons appear at the top of the stairs and start rushing down, you realize it is many, many, many skeleton feet. An entire horde running directly towards you.